Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
And the Lord was just kind of breaking my heart. So I might cry at some stage during my sermon today, just giving you the heads up. Because today we're introducing a topic for August that is the church. And as I sat here at the front and we were worshiping, I was just like, the Lord broke my heart for His church so much. And as I saw Ingrid and I saw our worship team, I was like, Lord, thank you for your church. And I don't think we say that enough. I don't think we say, Lord, thank you for your church. So let's pray this morning before we begin. And why don't we say thank you? Thank you to Jesus for the church and His church. Father, we thank you so much to be a part of this house, to be a part of this church. Thank you for what you're doing and what you've already done in our hearts and in our lives and how you're ministering to us. Thank you for every person that so gladly, with joy, serves you and ministers to us and imparts from their heart. Father, I pray your blessing on today, your blessing on what you want to speak to us about. Keep our hearts open, that we would be open to whatever you whisper to us today. We give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, God's church said, amen. Ah, He's so good. He's so good. So like I said, we're starting a series on the church for this month. We're going to have some incredible people from our house speak into this. But I'm going to today give, thank you, Ash, for the tissues, start with an overview of the church. So we're going to be talking about what is the church? And you know, when I was praying into today, I was thinking about, oh man, I love narratives. I love people's stories. And it's one of my favorite things to hear someone's story. And who loves documentaries here? Is it just me? Ingrid's got both hands up. Dave and I watch more documentaries than we do movies now. It's because stories fascinate us. And, you know, when you think about someone's story, it draws you into someone's world, their mind, their perspectives, their worldview. And it doesn't mean that we agree particularly with every perspective and everything they say. But I grow in compassion and empathy and understanding. Oh, wow, I can see why that person did what they did. Or I can see why that person has come this far. I can see, you know, for example, why this athlete is the GOAT, the best of the best of the best. Because when you see the background, you understand. There's more understanding. There's more compassion. And that's another reason why I love conversations and sitting around a table with people. And I really, truly believe that there isn't a person we wouldn't have compassion, empathy, and understanding for if we just heard their story. And recently, I love listening to a podcast. I don't get much time to listen to a lot of podcasts anymore, but I recently heard a podcast, and this podcast has a famous guest on it every episode. And it really stood out to me for one thing. So the host starts the podcast with contacting a person who knows the guest really well. And then they talk well of the person behind their back. So this is the premise of the podcast. So they talk well of the person behind their back. This is a secular podcast, by the way. And I was so delighted by this concept and so convicted. How am I talking about people behind their backs? I also felt sad that maybe non-believers are leading the way on how we treat one another in some corridors of society. And I have to admit, there is something that at times I have not spoken highly of behind its back. And maybe in a room this size, some of us have had the thought of, the church, get it together. If only they did this or that. Or, you know, maybe we felt embarrassed about some parts of the church. Or maybe we distance ourselves from the church and say, well, I'm not like those, you know, believers. Or maybe we've been hurt by the church. Now, don't get me wrong. There is some stuff that's happened in churches that is so horrific, that needs to be brought out into the open. People need to repent, repair, apologize, and change. But it doesn't change this. The church is amazing. Yes, I have experienced church hurt, and I've had the most incredible experiences in church. I will always believe, love, and champion the local church. Firstly, because it's God's only strategy to save humanity. It's it. There's no plan B. We're it. And I have been loved, encouraged, and blessed greatly by this community of believers, Newman Melbourne West, but also in every church that I've been a part of, every church community. Has it been perfect? Nope. But is being a part of a church worth it? 100%. I love the church. And so it breaks my heart hearing and seeing, you know, division, disunity, trauma, and general hurt that happens in the church. And I wonder sometimes about God's reaction to it all. And I think, if it breaks my heart, imagine his reaction. We've heard it said many times. We cannot say we love God and not love his church. It's a package deal. And in fact, the church's reputation should precede it by how Jesus asked us to behave and what he asked us to embody in John 13:35. We know this well. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So how do we talk about the church behind its back? How do we talk about each other behind closed doors? Because the thing is, we are the church. You and me, the person sitting next to you, the person in front of you, the person behind you, the people in the church down the street, in the next suburb, in the next state, across the nations, we're the church. And the church is imperfect, but it's beautiful. And I believe that one of the things that God is calling us to in this hour as the church is to take ownership of our part in the body. Loving the body of Christ, encouraging the body of Christ, discipling the body of Christ, and building up the body of Christ. Now, I'm not talking about serving. So I think we need to break out the box of what we understand about church, because the church is everywhere you and I are. We'll explore this a little bit. But it's not just serving. We cannot limit this just to serving on a Sunday, even if it's amazing. And we always need more people to serve on a Sunday. But this is so much bigger than a Sunday. And so it's easy to point out flaws and problems, and there are lots of them in every church. Yes, even in this one, there are heaps. But I just pray that our hearts are filled with more with grace and willingness to be the solution God has called us to be, rather than just to be armchair critics. Because we live in a time where the church can be seen as no different to a supermarket. I like the worship there, but I don't like the pastor there or the teaching. Or we like the teaching at another church, but no one said hi to me when I walked in. And all these things can be solved in just one question. Where has God called you? God calls us to different parts of the body of Christ, to connect, to grow, to get discipled and disciple others and tell people about Jesus. Pneuma is not the only church. There are amazing churches. We are a part of the ACC, and we're very involved with the regional, churches in across the Southwest. They're incredible churches doing incredible things. We're not the only church out there. So maybe we're following the wrong criteria or asking the wrong questions. If our decision is solely based on preferences, we will never be planted and truly flourish in our walk with God. Our body, the body of Christ, will never function in a healthy way if we allow a consumerist mindset to dictate the value that we place on it. The body will never function in a healthy way if we opt out of being a part of it. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. Is everyone okay? Okay. It says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." You know, there are seasons when we can't get in the room. There's sickness, there's children, people are in rural areas, but really there's no substitute to being in the room together as a family. Like today, incredible being in the room together as a family. Meeting together is so important to encourage one another, to grow, to learn and outwork the gifts, fan into flame the gifts that God has given us. Being together in community allows for us not to be isolated and discouraged. I've seen the damage firsthand, you know, up close of many who isolate themselves from the body. And I don't believe that's what God intended for us. You know, when Ingrid was bringing communion this morning, you know, this is why. We are the church that the Lord gave up his body for. How are we stewarding the great privilege it is to be the church? So what is the church? The church is the body of Christ. A lot of these things we already know, but it's really important to be reminded of them. I need to be reminded of them. It's a community of people, not just the pastor or the paid staff or the volunteers. The church needs all of us to function in a healthy way. Romans 12:5 says, "So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Unity, not uniformity. We're individual members of one body. Jesus is our common ground. We are one body in him. We're the body of Christ. Another very obvious thing that we all know, the church is not a building. It says in 1 Peter 2, 4 to 5, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." Peter's picture here is that God is building a spiritual temple, a spiritual house using living stones, us, believers, those who have come to the ultimate living stone, which is Jesus Christ. The spiritual house shows that as much as Israel had a temple, which we all know, Christians also have one. Yet the Christian's temple is spiritual, and we ourselves are the temple. The church is a living, breathing thing. It's a collection of every tongue, tribe, nation, life experiences, history with Jesus. The church is so much more than just its location or a building. And so I think we sell ourselves short when that's on the criteria of where we come to church. The church is the family of God. We are called to be brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a place where everyone belongs. Everyone is seen, known, and loved. Being a part of a church community means that I can be a part of God's plan for you, and you can be a part of God's plan for me. Church doesn't exist just so we can take, but it's family. It's give and take. It's serve and be served. Every year, I'm blown away. Every year that we've existed as a church, we celebrated 7 years of Pneuma Melbourne West. Every year, I'm blown away by how selfless and servant-hearted this community is. When someone's unwell, when there's been a tragedy, it's one of our values that love gives generously, and I constantly see it in action. And it's beautiful. The church is the family of God. And, you know, we see this blueprint in Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. It doesn't mention anything about a Sunday service here. This is doing life together, being family with one another. It's very simple sometimes in these modern times to overcomplicate. But in a sentence, this is the church. It is family. And it's important to say, we're not always going to agree. I have probably offended you already. And it might happen vice versa, but we're family, so we work through it. Yeah. The church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:20 to 22 says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within us and among us. It's a community of people who not only come together on a Sunday to minister to the Lord, to worship him and learn more about him, but Sunday should simply be the launching pad into, you know, Monday to Saturday. And this is why I'm saying it's so much bigger than just today, than just Sunday. We can't limit the church to just a Sunday. But if we're the temple of the Holy Spirit goes everywhere, into our workplaces, into our schools, into our universities, into the supermarket, into the petrol station, in our community. Wherever we are, that's where the church is, or where the church should be. The gym, if you go to the gym, I don't, but maybe you do. He's at the gym. We carry the Holy Spirit everywhere we go. And it's powerful because atmospheres and environments change when we walk in as sons and daughters everywhere we go. The church is not confined to a Sunday, even though Sundays are amazing. Sundays are my favorite days. But it cannot be confined to just a Sunday. The church is the bride of Christ. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her in Ephesians 5:25. Jesus, in one verse, speaks to the nature of the relationship between husband and wife in parallel with Christ and his bride, his church. Jesus loves the church so much that he gave his life up for the church. And we as the church are loved, chosen, and purified. We are the bride of Christ. As much as, you know, we sang that beautiful song, that second song about being near to him, how we love to be near to him. More than anything, he loves to be near to us. In James, it says, come near to God and he will come near to you. But he's already there. He's already near. It's us that isolate ourselves. He loves to be close to us. The church has a mission. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Jesus has given us a mission as his disciples. Jesus has appointed us to continue with his work upon the earth, to spread the gospel, to advance God's kingdom. He's equipped us and appointed us to do this through his divine power and authority. The church are the ambassadors, the representatives of Jesus. How are we representing him as the church? The church is salt and light. Matthew 5:13-16, it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light up a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Disciples of Jesus are like salt because they have a preserving influence. So salt was used to preserve meats and to slow the decay of meat. Christians should have a preserving influence on the culture. Jesus gives us a great responsibility when he says we're the light of the world as well, because he claimed that title for himself as he walked on this earth in John 8:12 and John 9:5. Light of the world doesn't mean that we're only light receivers from Jesus, but we're also light givers. So our light underneath a table or with a basket put over it is redundant. It makes no sense. And so it means that our focus as believers should not be inward, but outward focused. Not living for ourselves, but being a light that leads others to Jesus. The purpose of light is to illuminate and expose what is there. Therefore, light must be exposed before, or else it's of no use. In the same way, Jesus wanted us, his people, his bride, in his kingdom, to live visible lives that attracted people to the beauty of him. So we're going to do something a little bit different for the rest of this message. I've got two questions for personal reflection, and then we're going to turn this service into a life group. Is everyone okay? Yeah, okay. So I want you to quietly reflect about these two questions. What are the misconceptions we have about the church? And how can we reconcile our experiences of the church with what God says the church should look like? So let's spend a couple of minutes. What are our misconceptions about the church? And how can we reconcile our experiences with the church than with what God says about what the church should look like?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.